Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete.
Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and I'm joined by Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, on yesterday's show, we talked about how to identify your ideal client, which is key to building a business that will be both professionally and personally satisfying. On today's show, Sherry's going to guide us on the next step on how to build your business once by talking about business and life design and how they can and should be in sync. Sherry, we're all ears.
Okay, that's great. And then after this, we're going to follow with another kind of a four-point grid in order to see how we strategically can do what we're going to be talking about today and talked about yesterday. So I'm trying to give you guys kind of some guidelines and some edges to push, but also some borders to stay within as you either design or redesign your business. So today is about designing the ideal. Now that we know a little bit more about there is a way to make decisions about who you may be best suited to be matching up with in terms of your client base and what their and their endeavors versus your capabilities and your interests. And so we're trying to keep all of that kind of in mind as we go forward. So today, the first thing I think is crucial for us to know, and there will be a template for this as well for you, is who is it really and truly that you do want to work more or in broader and deeper areas with professionally? And there's a little way to begin to hone in on that, to get it really specific, because the whole free world does not need you and your service. And even though you think it may be applicable, whatever it is you do, to way more people than you're working with right now, let's also keep in mind what is enough, what is more than enough, in order for you to have a little bit of a reserve list or a wait list. But at the same time, what are you doing actually day to day that is rebuilding and renewing you as you go, rather than leading to you either getting too much chocolate in your diet of the too many of the same kind of clients that don't give you enough challenge and growth opportunity to build out your edges a little bit more. So to start out with, when you want to know more about who the people are professionally who may match well with you, and you've already got your own qualities and traits figured out, they are blank. What are they? Are they companies? Are they individuals? Are they entrepreneurs? Are there people that have settled in a little too much to their business? Who are they? And describe them. And what is it that they most want? Because you've got to join them where they are, not where you want them to be or where you think they could be. You have to first join them where they actually are now. And from that position, what do they want? I don't work from a pain point kind of thing. Pains get resolved, and when you're good at what you do, you can resolve them pretty quickly. And then you're no longer in process with that client because they came and got a problem fixed, and they're off and running to do something with the solution. And instead, for you, I would like you, if you want this, to become an integrated part of their business and move along stage to stage with them. It may be a situation where you work a while and you stop a while they go implement, and then they come back and you reengage and you keep going, and you may even have a plan for that. So, first of all, they are people who are in companies that want what? what do they specifically want most right now? What is the next piece for them? And it may well be solving a problem, but make sure that you add more than just that to whatever it is you do with them, with that if you had that resolved, what then? And that would be part of what we're going to talk about contracting around. And then that you can provide well, and that ideally it is in some part of your sweet spot. So that's, first of all, identifying more clearly exactly who's out there that's available to you or potentially available that you know that much about. And then coming up, Jennifer, but I'd like you to comment if you have ideas about that. We're going to be talking about collaboration and professional colleagues. So when you began to narrow and redefine who it was for you in brewing media, for example, what did y'all change, or what did you figure out, you know, that was a new thing you wanted to explore?
You know, I really want to talk a little bit about that pain point thing, and then I'll answer the question. But I had never considered that being a piece, because you do have people who come to you and they're in crisis, or whether that's, you know, public crisis or whether it's just internal crisis or a crisis that is in their head, but you can easily identify it's not actually a crisis. And I'd never considered that that is a separate kind of business versus actually working with someone and going along the journey with them. I have had clients that I have gone through phases with. When I first outlined their plan, there's phase one, phase two, phase three, and we make a decision to work. Sometimes they want to go in sync. Let's do phase one and let's continue on to phase two. But I have had clients who want to work on phase one, and then they need mm-hmm. time to breathe and live and understand that space. And when they're ready to right. come back for phase two, or phase two may have changed based on their own experiences and things that have happened, but that in and of itself is also rewarding. You know, for me, I've always enjoyed having clients live it, breathe it, understand how to use the platforms and the tools. And then I like to, like, throw them up in the air and say, fly, be free, and to watch them then go on mm-hmm. and successfully do it. I have that kind of proud mama moment, but mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about building your business once, where you have long sustained clients. And right. I think that's really what's been happening over the last few years, is that I do have these clients that I've had for like 4 or 5 years now. And mm-hmm. then I have the ones that are the fly and be free. And I'm actually, my business is pivoting more towards these longer term projects. And it wasn't really anything that I had intentionally set out to do. I'd always kind of mm-hmm. thought of myself as a startup person, right. but just organically, it's shifting that way, and I'm actually getting a lot more satisfaction out of that than I thought I would. Right. So I think it's just been an organic transition, but listening to you talk about identifying what that is, I just feel like, oh, I get it, I understand, and I can be more intentional in that instead of just, you know, throwing the spaghetti against the wall.
Yeah, and what I found is really, really quite true for many of us who begin to think this way. What we just discover and really want to more fully explore almost always becomes contagious, and if that is beneficial to a handful or even more of our long-term existing clients, they will actually, if they've been on a break, they'll be back for that, or that's something you can reintroduce to them as a possibility that they could add themselves. When it's become very gratifying for me in terms of the ongoing or the periodically repeating and new work, but the same, you know, same relationship, is when I see it kind of coming in, filtering through me, I'm putting my particular stamp on it, they inherit it, and then they stamp it completely differently and implement it completely differently. But philosophically and theoretically, there's an awful lot in common with what I did versus what they're going to do, but they're going to brand it in their own way. So, and I know you probably are sharing some of those same types of experiences, and part of what we're doing today is trying to put language that is literally able to pass beyond us and to be going out to other people now about, you know, related to what we've discovered and experienced. The next piece on life and business design is who you want to collaborate with and or build alliances with. And if you're not doing that, you're not putting together, everybody's not going to get a chance to do business with you or know you if you're not working directly with potential collaborative, you know, relationships or colleagues professionally who you have a high regard for and who are not doing what you're doing, but they're doing it along the same tandem, you know, they're in tandem with you in some way there. So it's really important. And for that, what are they doing? What do they want? And what can they provide that you can use, or what can you provide that they can use? So are and want and can be add-ons to who you want to do more work with and be more in professionally relationship with as clients. It can also apply to the same thing for your collaboration potentials and colleagues there. And the third thing we're going to throw in the mix here is what your primary gifts and talents are that are directly applicable either to the client base that we're talking about, you expanding into, are the collaborative relationships. And so always we have to come back to your primaries, what your gifts and either natural talents are, acquired talents, or practice. Because some things that you do really well now, you never really set out to become good at, but you had an affinity for them once you got your feet wet. And especially since you're an early adopter, you've had a lot of experience in that area of what came to you naturally that you really took to, and then you begin to build out on.
You know, that's so true. A lot of times in that early adopter mode, you know, it's that, you know, you're always looking for that new thing that's exciting and interesting. And when I look at things, I look at them not only from an interesting standpoint personally, because I do like to discover new ways of doing things and new platforms and new tools, but also after I've understood it, then I start looking at, okay, how can this apply to some of the projects I'm working on, to some of the clients that I'm working on, or could this be a new brand of client that I could work with if I wanted to pursue this deeper? And that I think keeps me fresh and excited and motivated to continue to do the things that I do, because I just enjoy it so much. And it doesn't become like right now today, I'll tell you, Sherry, today is a Saturday and I am in discovery tech mode, and I'm trying like different setups of recording different ways and using different tools. And I'm like a kid in a candy store today, because right now I'm doing it for me, but could I do this for a client project in the future? Sure.
You can, yeah. And we're going to talk about that. On down when we get into the wallet part of this, you know, we're working head and heart and wallet and then relationship. But when we get into the head part of the wallet, like the logical thing for your wallet, we're going to be talking about green blocking your business and your time. And that has to do with how do we begin to plant the seeds of new growth for us? Like you're discovering now what the seeds are that you may want to see flourish in whole new ways. Once you get the hang of them and really implement them in your own business, then that becomes very contagious, and other people are going to want you to help them do that. So that may be one of the special features. Part of life and life designing your life to work with your business is you and I knowing, and everybody who's in business knowing, what are the special features of your business right now? What really are they? And then we have to kind of take a little measurement of those. Where do we sit with those? Do they still really excite us? Are we still learning about that, or has it become a little bit rote? Is it just what we do because we're capable of doing it? And is the edge kind of off in that area? We need to keep knowing what special features we could be adding to our business, which ones we want to enhance, deepen, or expand on, and which ones are we about ready to kind of graduate on or refer out, or staff up or contract up to delegate somebody else in our business that becomes a part of our business, but doing more with that. And then the next question that leads into on the life and business design template is, given what some of those special features are now for you, and if your relationship with some of them has changed, what special features of my business ideally can be for the very next steps I want to take or the very next territories I want to explore? Because that will tell you if it's going to be delegation and passing some off, if it's going to be referral, if it's going to be you in the driver's seat of it. But we need to keep those kind of things in mind as we're planning the changing shape of our business or our underpinning design of our business. So I don't know where you stand on that, Jennifer, but I know you have a team, and I know you contract as well sometime separately. So is this being useful to you to talk about this?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I just had a call recently, and I was talking about the three different pieces of my business and how one of them is well established and is to some extent somewhat on autopilot. I enjoy what I'm doing. I have a very well-developed team around it, and we all are very good at what we do, and we know how to accomplish the task for the project. So that is satisfying, but it's also somewhat on autopilot, right? And I have another piece of my business that is something that is like my passion project, and I've been loving this for like 12 years, but now all of a sudden there's a commercial viability to it, and that's really starting to explode. So that's kind of in a growth phase. And then I have this other piece of my business that I've recently launched that is in what I would consider the infant stage because it's still building. It's that very beginning stage of startup. But I get enjoyment out of all of them, but they all are profitable in different ways. And so, I'm totally with you on that. I think you have to have those different pieces of your business as they're going, because if you're relying on the one thing, at some point the one thing may go away. And then where are you going to be?
Well, and also, even if it doesn't go away, you may be ready to individuate from it yourself for your own growth, just like you're saying. Like, I know one of the really special benefits, and this is in the next piece, special benefits of my and your way of working with our clients are, and we need to be able to list those. One of the ways I know you have a special way of working is that you have very strategically and very thoughtfully, through exposure and repetition and ongoing opportunity to observe how it is your team individuals are operating together, but also with you and also with the client. And so when people come in to work with you, one of the special benefits is already going to be that y'all are up and running, and you guys are not going to have problems working out between you how to apply each of your depth skill sets to the customer to help take. It's not just all you. You're already interwoven and you're already integrated. So that's a special benefit. One of the things they can expect from me is I am going to connect them to some resources and to some people and to some circumstances that will be new to them, because that's kind of what I do, and that's kind of where I get the kick. You get a gadget, I get a new level of connection. And so that's an expectation. Last things that I want us to talk about before we close this topic off, and there's a little bit more to it that'll be on the template, is through your business, through your relationships, through what it is you've done so well with your team and with clients, what is your business really a message to others? What does your business message actually say they can anticipate or expect as givens when a client comes in to work with your business? That's important for you to know.
It makes a lot of sense because, you know, I think that's one of the biggest challenges, though, Sherry, I personally face, is that I'm so busy working on my client projects and working on other pieces that I don't think necessarily that my business says everything that it needs to say about me. I have someone that I've been working with on a project for almost 5 years now, and he recently told me, when we were just having a conversation, I told him about something that I was working on, and he said, really? Mm-hmm. You do that? And he said, you know, I've been working with you for a while, and I really don't know everything that you do. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow.
Correct. Yeah.
You have
a brand, and a lot of people can identify what that is, but you also have brand parts and particles that you interweave so well that they don't stand alone, but they're there and they're available. So those are good conversations to be having. And then the last piece of this life business design template here, there are two last pieces here. What do I most want very next, right next? Because that has to have room made for it, and then it has to get some of our energy and some of our thought processes there. And then finally, what am I most willing to exchange to have what I want? And we need to name what you're willing. Like, for example, when I first transitioned into this business, I was a psychologist by background, and I had happened to have a child that had been blinded at age 11, going on 12, and technology was going to be the only answer for him, and it didn't exist yet for a blind child. Technology existed, but not for a blind child. So I had to be willing to make an exchange of around 90 hours a week. At one point, potentially, it didn't turn out that much, but I had to be willing to keep one business running while I figured out what it was he was going to need in his educational future and then business future before he got to the point of having to have it educationally. So I had a little leeway there, but I had to make an agreement with myself of what I was willing to change. And I was willing to give 90 hours a week, part split for family purposes, but in a business way, because I was going to have to help create the technology bridges that would allow him to tap into technology for part of his education. And then I had to decide what my next two actions toward that were going to be. I had dates on them. Then I had to have a reward. Knowing me, because my attention would switch, I had to define what I did want to reward myself with and by when. So I will be sending you a way that people can access this. And then for next time, we're going to build a grid together of what people basically want more of and less of, want to stop, and what they want to start. And we've talked about this previously in one way, but we're going to apply it now to strategizing next time.
You know, that makes such a big difference, because it's all fine and dandy for us to hear all this great knowledge and to have an understanding of it, but that taking that understanding and putting it into practical application, that's where the real impact is going to happen. Thank you so much, Sherry, for another, you know, mind-opening show.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.